Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Record.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
There is a first time for everything. We've got I don't know. The numbers are going around on my machine.
Amazing. Welcome to Never Stay Far.
We've missed so much racing. It's been a huge amount of racing. I was just catching up on results. We should probably do some cycling content in this.
Where's our introduction?
Oh, okay. You're listening to Never Stray. Hello and welcome to Never Strays Far, a cycling podcast hosted by
me, David Miller,
and me, Peter Kenyuk,
and me, Ned Bolting. Today, we're going to be looking at some of the racing that has already happened in 2024, starting with the Tour of the Algarve. But before that, let's hear the theme tune. Snappy start.
That was great.
crazy amounts of racing, but I think we should begin with the UAE tour, David.
Oh, yeah.
I think let's begin out of sequence because you have been commentating already ahead of me and Pete. We've done no commentary.
I know that's David the first time I've ever done that. It's really good because normally I'm coming in cold into Paris-Nice, and I have to thank Pete for that because Pete, with his direct sportif job, couldn't do UAE and put my name forward.
And now I'm slightly nervous for the big one in July because I'm missing my main training camp of the year.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to have to resort to putting the telly on silent and commentating at home.
Yeah. It was good. UAE's weird. It's really weird.
What, the place or the race?
Just
or
the place. Both? I mean, the race is what it is. We'll come to that. But the UAE is... I don't think I've been there before, but not actually on tour, because I had this dream in my head that we'd be in one hotel and kind of just pivoting around the place, but actually we're in a different hotel every night and across the whole of the UAE.
And We did warn you.
You did warn me. But and because I'd done my reading beforehand, where is my book? Oh, it's there it is. The Origins. Yeah. Of the United Arab Emirates, like a book from the 1970s, I had a totally different perspective on it because it's just madness, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And to think that like 50, 60 years ago, there was almost nothing there. And I'd never been to Abu Dhabi, and Abu Dhabi's pretty swanky, to be honest. That's pretty a baller place, more so than Dubai, I'd say.
Yeah. They're slightly different vibes, aren't they? The two big Emirates, Abu Dhabi. Dubai feels like it's kind of an experiment that is almost beginning to curdle a little bit. It's a little bit rough around the edges, sort of.
It is.
Like having been incredibly shiny. And Abu Dhabi just feels a bit more, even more sort of cash rich, doesn't it?
It does feel swanky. Yeah. But the race was good. It was strange commentating with somebody else, with Declan. Who's lovely.
Declan Quigley.
Yep. So I had to figure out how to do that. Little things, like, you know the way you and me can kind of dance in and out in the last K, and then you take it definitely last 500. He's definitely from like a K and a half out.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And so I was just sitting there kind of like, kind of seeing things and not saying anything. So that was good. But the race itself was a bit Tour of Britain-esque in the sense that pretty flat, obviously, apart from the two summit finishes, but even those were kind of like flat stages. And pretty much the same breakaway every day. Mark Stewart up the road with different guys. And obviously flag-to-flag commentating. So it was pretty... There wasn't much to talk about. And obviously there's not much to talk about in the landscape. And I didn't really want to go into the history I learnt about the Trucial States.
Did you do the whole stage every day?
I didn't do the... Yeah, we did the whole stage every day. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, from like neutral rollout. And so I didn't want to go into the East India Company and all that jazz. So we kind of just talked about the race, and there wasn't much crosswind, apart from maybe the last day where it actually had an effect. But it was good because I got to see some young riders that I knew nothing about. And that was good. The young Van Atvelt who won was an absolute baller of a bike racer. UAE crumbling, that was a surprise. I mean...
Yeah. Those were the headlines, weren't they, David? Like the guy who, the kid who won, the Belgian, 22 yeah. years old of age?
22. And the way he raced was just amazing.
Lennart van Atvelt,
Van Atvelt, yeah, because he went, I mean, he got third, he lost time in the time trial, got third on Jebel Jais, which is the kind of the long mountain, not necessarily steep.
Yeah.
But then the next day, he went in like a race long, or on the Friday, he went in kind of the sort of suicide... waste of energy breakaway, but got both intermediate sprints and the 6 seconds, and what? Then he ended up winning the race overall by 2 seconds.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they screwed up. So which team let him get in that break? Like, who had the jersey?
Well, everyone did. Everyone let him go.
So
it was basically Mark Stewart and then it was two Lottos, just the kind of first break that went. And I think apparently heard afterwards that it was a team doctor in the car on the way to the start said, why don't you go in the breakaway? Get the seconds. I mean, it was pretty far down. He was like at 28 seconds or something. So he wasn't, I guess, everyone thought you were going to dominate.
Okay.
Yeah. Got you. So, yeah, but so how brilliant bit of bike racing from him. But watching UAE, I saw Mauro Gianetti, who's the boss of UAE, who's my old boss from when I was at Sonny Duval, who I got on with really well. And I saw him after the final stage. And I was, geez, what happened? Because Jay Vine and Brandon McNulty just fell to pieces on the final climb up Jebel Hafit on the final day. And he was like, I don't know. I have no idea what happened. Because even the race was going so much slower up Jebel Hafit than it has other years. And yet they still crumbled. But it was interesting because even you know, if that was Dave Brailsford, it's such a different way of talking, because Dave Brailsford would be like, oh, you know, he'd be kind of coming up with reasons and solutions. Mauro's just like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's like, he said they were going slower up there as well. I have no idea. It's just like a team that's that advanced. At the beginning of the race, they got top three in the time trial on stage two, and it just looked like it was going to be a cakewalk for them. And just
with Brandon McNulty, did he win the time trial?
Won the time trial. Jay Vine second, Mikkel Bjerg third. The next day, Adam Yates crashed out, gave himself a concussion.
Oh, he slapped out, he slapped down really hard, didn't he?
It was kind of funny, but he didn't know, so he got back on his bike and then he's riding along. And because the crash looked pretty innocuous, but then it was one of his teammates was talking to him. And Adam didn't even know he crashed.
Yeah, what crash? Oh, dear.
At which point he was like, oh, okay, I better go and speak to Team Car, find out what to do. They stopped on the final climb. But apart from that, no, it was a good race. It was interesting, but not that interesting. Just interesting UAE crumbling and Van Atvelt kind of coming to... And the comeback of my old friend Ben O'Connor, decathlon.
What?
He was on fire, but just let it slip on the final
climb. What about Sam Bennett?
Sam Bennett was all right, but that was the other interesting thing, because it was kind of coined by Mark Cavendish, that it was the Sprinters World Championships, because you had literally every single kind of A category sprinter there apart from Jasper Philipsen. But the sprinters
and Arnaud Démare,
probably for that very reason. Merlier just made everyone look like absolute donkeys. He was just on absolute fire. With him, go on, Pete.
No, I was just saying a bit of inside info that, Paul, oh my God, what's his second name? He was on our team last year, who now rides for Quickstep, already won a race. Did he win it?
Manya.
Paul Manya. He was beating Merlier in sprints on training camp.
Really?
What?
Huh. Yeah.
Well, it was really interesting watching Melia because they're quite chaotic sprints and you're expecting lead outs and they weren't happening. No lead out was stronger than the others and there was a little bit of headwind finishes, weird ones. And he was just finding the right wheel, going at the right point. So strong, but just in the right place. And on the stage, Friday stage, so that would be stage 5, he was going for like his third stage win and got a puncture with 6Ks to go on his back wheel and kind of made the decision, I'll just ride it to the finish and get a top 10 for the green jersey. And again, just found himself in a brilliant position and got second. And his tyre was down to 3 bar. But it was so strong. And then the next day, he just crushed everybody again. And when he crossed the finish line and he was rolling back to the podium, he was just shaking his head. And he was then in his post-race interview. And he said it's absolute humility and pragmatism, not arrogance. He said, I just can't do anything wrong at the moment. And it was like watching an athlete in absolute perfect flow, zenith state, and just kind of can't do anything wrong. And so he ended up winning 3 stages, green jersey, second in another, but just made a mockery of all the other sprinters, which was pretty interesting. So that was the only real takeaway. Merlier crushing people, Van Etvelt coming to kind of breaking through, and UAE crumbling. So there you go, UAE in a nutshell.
Very good. Hey, Pete, what's happening?
Hey, Ned.
What's happening in your life? What's going on?
Not much. I feel really mellow all the time. I'm like, even talking about race, and then I'm just cruising through life at the minute. Obviously
that's good.
It's not obvious, but on the first Trinity Racing's training camp of the year, that's going well. We're close to Calpe, a place called Altea, which is lovely, actually. Mm-hmm. It's right. Probably about a 10-minute ride from Calpe. But yeah, it's been good. We've done, a lot of work so far. And yesterday was the first day we did more specific work on tactics, where we did a couple of race simulations. It's like a 10K stretch of road, and one way slightly drags up and the other way slightly drags down. It's like a tailwind on the downhill section. So they're doing like 70, 80K an hour, two groups, both with lead out trains and a couple of wild cards. But it was so funny because I was the neutral car and Aaron with the flag out. So I was holding them, on the bumper. And on one of the ways, it was like a crosswind. So I had them all in the gutter and everyone was flapping behind in the car. We've done a lot of efforts up until yesterday, but not much really on tactics. So it was so good just to catch them all out. On one of the races, I beeped the horn to get behind the neutral car, and half of them were all so slow to react that three of them from one team with a sprinter were on the car. So I just kept the foot on the gas, and they must have had like a 30-second gap by the time I pulled off with 5K to go. Because I was like, I was making a point. You can't just switch off. I don't care if you can do 440 watts for 20 minutes 2 days ago. Like if you take your finger off the pulse in a race, you miss a move, and it doesn't really matter if you've got the watts or not. So they were all caught out and just getting into them a bit with how they were riding and stuff like that. So it's been good.
How do you even do that on open? Sorry, David, just jump in there, Pete. How do you scares the life out of me, the idea of doing that on open roads and keeping everybody safe?
You know what?
Is that not like as a DS?
Don't even think about it. The roads are really safe out here, and the drivers on the whole are really good. Sure. And we have this, we come here, we've been coming here for years, so it's a good stretch of road. But nonetheless, it's 16, 17 riders all on your bumper on an open road. It's quite funny. But I don't even think about it. Everyone's sensible, and we say at the start that safety is the forefront.
They're wearing helmets.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. That's good. Excellent. So, folks, I'm on the road again, this time only overnight. And as a result, I cycled up to the station yesterday morning to get on my way, which means if I do that, I have to pack light, stuff all the podcast things in a bag, a change of clothes, a few books, a toothbrush and toothpaste. My running shoes I wear, which means I also make sure to pick up an AG1 travel pack for the road, because morning isn't morning and a run isn't a run until I've drunk my glass of AG1. That refreshing tangy taste that sets me up for the day and beyond. It tastes good, because it's only made from natural products, over 70 different ingredients. It's a powerfully simple supplement with vitamins, minerals, whole food source nutrients and more in a single scoop that takes seconds to mix each morning. It helps to support your brain, heart, energy and immune health. Oh, and by the way, I was literally woken up this morning by my phone going ping. It was David posting a photograph to our podcast WhatsApp group of his AG1 shaker full of green goodness. So he beat me to it, as he does with most things. Now, if you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. That's drinkag1.com/neverstraysfar. Check it out.
Sorry, I just want to find out how Pete's doing on his sport since his insane 16-minute 5K.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
I had a bit of a, I don't know, like a drop-off in, you know, it was all a big build-up, wasn't it? But, and then it was almost like...
Massive.
I did it, and I was like, it was great being there. It was on the podcast, wasn't it? It was all fun and games. And then it was a bit anticlimactical after it. And then I've kind of just gone back to being a bit of a hobbyist, which has been quite nice.
Nice.
I've rode the bike a bit, been out with the boys a couple of times out here. I'm good for 2 hours and then I just completely blow my doors off. Yeah, it's been good. Well balanced, I'd say, David.
Well done, Pete.
Yeah, so today, Ned, yeah, we're doing a role reversal. So I'm a Swanee today, being up at 7, making rice cakes, getting the bottles sorted for the guys. Jacob, who is the Swanee, and Charlie, who's one of the other mechanics, they're me and John Mould, so they're the directors for the day. So we waved them off they went.
I think it's genius.
We made sure they had 200, they've got 200K, it's going to be more than 6 hours in the car by the time we get back, so to get the full get the full experience.
Well, whose idea was this, Pete? I think it's genius. I think it's brilliant.
Well, it was my idea, and it's the last day of the block. Very and good. It's a rest day tomorrow, so it feels like we've got 2 days off. But in all seriousness, you know, everyone believes their job's the hardest, don't they? And we're always moaning like, oh my god, a ham and cheese sandwich again or whatever, for example, you know, just as an example. And you know, you get a bit miffed off when you come back and Jacob's there all excited that the car's back and you've just been driving for 7 hours and you're like, oh my god, will you give it a break? But then, you know, we've had the really hectic part of the day now and we get to chill out and prepare stuff and we're going to do the washing, except we obviously can't massage. But it's good just to, I wouldn't say it, empathy's not the word, but yeah, just to like put yourself in their shoes, because you know, no wonder he's excited when you get back, because he's been sort of mulling around for 7 hours and he's ready to get stuck into his work. So, but yeah, I think it'll be a good exercise. Hopefully everyone gets something out of it.
We lost Ned. He's there. He's writing.
I've got a little bit of because I've got a dodgy internet connection. I'm just going to log off and log back on again. So I'm just going to suggest that you just keep going without me. but when I come back, guys, I'm going to tell you all about. Well, we're going to talk about Omloop Het Nieuwsblad. How about that? That's going to be exciting.
Good. Okay. Bye, Ned.
let me just log off. I'll be back in a second. Keep going without me.
But yeah, other than that, David, the camp's been great so far.
That's good. Well, I've been keeping my sport going, Pete.
Have you?
Yeah, chugging away.
Like Tour de France, inspired by a Tour de France sport, or are we what sort of level are we at?
Sort of medium level. I'm being a lot more sensible. Yeah. So I'm just staying on a constant plateau at the moment. I was looking back last year and it was just peak trough. So now I'm being a bit more like you, a bit more hobbyist.
Yeah.
Getting amongst it. Doing well. Where are you then, Ned?
I'm in Lille. I came over to France yesterday, and actually had a really nice day. I was met at Lille railway station by the name Jean Stablinski means something to you, I know, David. Maybe not to you, Pete. Have you heard of Jean Stablinski from the annals of history, the world champion road race world champion in 1962. He won. He was a teammate of Jacques Anquetil. He won, I think, five stages of the Tour de France. He won the Vuelta in 1958, won stages of the Giro as well. One of the greats of his generation. He died around about 17 years ago. He died in 2007. But his son, I've made contact with his son for various reasons that I've don't really want to go into now because I'm working on a kind of longer term project, but I made contact with his son, who's in his late 60s now, Jacques Stablinski, who was also a racer, not a particularly good one. Told me a very funny story about his final day of racing when he packed it all in. Actually, he was in some horrible race in Belgium, and he was in the sort of front group going up some berg, and he was within a chance of sort of getting a decent result in this one day race, and he punctured quite close to the finish line, and it was peeing with rain, and he just went, oh, do you know what, I'm just going to jack the entire career in, that's me done, like that. Had an absolute nice. Threw an absolute wobbler, and basically walked off the race with his punctured bike to a motorway junction, hitchhiked on the motorway as far as Ghent. And then he jumped back on his bike in Ghent and rode from Ghent over to the French border to his home in Valenciennes on a punctured rear wheel, and then never got on a bike again after that.
I've got a similar story about my brother doing an under 20.
Yeah.
He did get on his bike again. He was riding for the under 23. Yeah, British. Yeah, it was the academy at the time. And me and Swifty were just in our apartment in the centre of Corata then. It must have been one of the Toscana tours. 3-day race early on in the year, and I would just get the doorbell goes, and I'm like, oh, like no one ever rings your doorbell in Italy, you don't know anyone. I'm like, who the heck could that be? Tim's just there with his bike, numbers on, everything, just turned left off the race and turned up at our apartment, said, I can't do it, I'm over it,
I'm done, I'm out.
And was that his last race?
I can't remember. I think he might have gone back and raced for an Italian team the year after, but it was just it was brilliant.
I'm done.
Yeah. It was so old school. Numbers on everything. Helmet number on, just stood there at the door all shreveled. Swifty, put the kettle on.
Anyway, so Jacques Stablinski picked me up yesterday and gave me a little guided tour of the first place we went to was the Arenberg Trench. We went to the pavé on the Arenberg, which is really near Lille. And of course, his father, Jean Stablinski, added the Arenberg to Paris-Roubaix. So Jean-Marie Leblanc wanted new sections of pavé to be added to Paris-Roubaix because so many of them were being dug up and turned into tarmac. So he kind of consulted the local knowledge of Jean Stablinski, who said, yeah, you've got to go down the Arenberg Trench. So it's kind of his invention, his discovery. And now, of course, it's pretty much the most famous section of pavé out of all of them. So we went there, and then he took me to lunch in Wallers, which is the nearest town to the Arenberg Trench. And it was just one of those I sent you a picture of it, didn't I, David? Fantastic French lunch. Classic. Most French kind of... I had goulash du sanglier, with sanglier's wild boar. So I had a wild boar goulash, a big dollop of sort of dark stew with some potatoes on the plate, some over-steamed carrots and broccoli. And what I love about French cuisine is there's a little bit of salad on there, some lettuce with some dressing on, sitting right next to the sort of like dollop of stew, which you always find so random. Why would you put on a hot plate, you know, like... Why would you put the lettuce on the hot plate? Anyway, I loved it. I just thought it was great. And we shared a bottle of Sancerre. You know, Sancerre is normally a white wine. Well, this was red Sancerre straight out of the fridge. It was just, great. Loved it.
Happy days.
So I've had a really good 24 hours in France, and I'm going to head home on the train this evening. Yeah, got a few more things to do, but I'll keep them under my hat, under my Never Strays Far bobble hat for now. Yeah, have you seen much of the other bits and pieces of racing, either of you? Because we've had plenty. Like we had Remco doing Remco things again already.
Yeah, Vingegaard smashing. Vingegaard.
I need help.
Quite standard that actually. Like so, Remco won the Tour of the Algarve by placing well on the mountain stages and crushing everyone in the time trial. Yeah, that's what he does every year. He does the Tour of Algarve and he wins it. And then El Gran Camino is where Vingegaard makes his seasonal debut now, and he crushed, he absolutely destroyed everyone in that race. Took three stages. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Jonas Vingegaard Hansen.
Yeah.
What's Pogacar up to?
He hasn't raced yet.
I feel like I need to. I need him to come back to racing because I still feel so disconnected from it all. And I feel like
we need Tadej back.
It's almost like I need to prioritize watching it to get back into it because I'm really struggling at the minute.
There's too much going on, Pete.
Yeah.
There's too much. I just had to double check.
Strade Bianche is his first race, is it?
Might be, yeah. Yeah, it probably will be, actually, won't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When's that, Saturday?
It probably... Yeah, do you remember last year where he didn't do it because he thought he'd win it? That was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's
brilliant. And
he couldn't go to Paris-Nice because it would be annoyingly, he'd have to do lots of interviews and anti-doping because he would have won Strade Bianche. It was logistically...
So what's going after that, then?
He's doing Tirreno, I think. Yeah, this year. So we, at Paris-Nice, David, we have got Remco... And Roglic two of the big four going to Paris-Nice.
Oh, very
so that's,
good.
And then just so our listeners know, we got daily highlights on, as ever over the last few years, some daily highlights on ITV4 at 7 o'clock in the evening.
How quick has that came around to Paris-Nice? That's scary, isn't it?
Crazy, isn't it? It's this weekend. Starts this weekend. David's coming over to England, aren't you? Right?
Yeah, I am on Saturday. When I was on my way to UAE, I suddenly thought, I had this complete mind block. I thought we weren't doing Paris-Nice for some reason. Because I hadn't heard anything.
Oops.
Yeah. No. Okay. It was just a momentary flash. And I was like, are ITV still doing it? They are, thank God. So that's good. But, that's good. Paris-Nice.
Yeah. Okay, apologies for popping up twice with a commercial message, a mangled commercial message in this case, in the same podcast episode. But this one, you're really going to want to hear as well, because this is a special, by far the biggest road book offer that's ever been offered to the Never Strays Far listenership. 50% off the 2022 edition of the book, including signed copies, which there are some of those in stock still. 50% half price, use the discount code RED22. Or 20% off any of the other historical ones from 2018 to 2021, the first four editions of the roadbook, including the extraordinary 2020 edition, 2019 edition, all about Mathieu van der Poel and the Amstel Gold, and the 2018 edition, three British Grand Tour winners, Simon Yates, Chris Froome and Geraint Thomas, blah, 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 blah. If you want 20% off any of those, RETRO20 is your discount code. And finally, the 2023 roadbook, which is completely sold out, has just gone for a reprint. So if you somehow missed out or you know someone who missed out and wanted it, you can email office@theroadbook.co.uk and get on the waiting list for those. That way, when it goes back for a pre-order, you'll get it a day earlier than the general public. Okay. You have till Sunday the 10th of March to take advantage of those offers. Right. Back to the, frankly, excellent podcast. Am I the only one who watched any of the opening weekend then? Omloop Het Nieuwsblad and Kerner Brussels Kerner?
Yeah, because I was watching UAE.
Of course, you were actually working.
So yeah. I didn't see any of it.
Okay.
I presume Pete didn't because he's working.
Yeah, I missed it. I seen Luke Lamperty was up there in Kern Brussels Kern, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Seventh. Result was Sudal.
Fourth or fifth in seventh. The... Was it? Yeah, fourth or fifth in the sprint, wasn't
it?
Was there three, away.
But how about Luke's other successes so far this year?
Oman, wasn't it?
It's unbelievable in Oman, yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I was a bit apprehensive with him and Paul. You know, he was saying, I spoke to him towards the end of the season, he was saying he really wanted to, get the season off to a good start, et cetera, and I was like, well, maybe lower your expectations a little bit. But fair play to them, both have just stepped straight in, haven't they?
Crushing it, both of them. Yeah, it's amazing.
Crushing it.
But I didn't see, did you watch Het Nieuwsblad then, Ned? this be a pause because Ned's disappeared. What does your jumper say, Pete?
I struggle on planets keep turning day and night.
Okay. Hello. Hello, Pete. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Yeah. We lost
all okay. All right. I don't know what happened there.
Dave's blood.
Okay. All right. So shall I... do you want to hear what happened on Omelette Newsblad? Shall I like that if you didn't watch it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do.
I didn't... It was super exciting, but it was all about Jumbo Visma, really. So they had, you know, Mattia Jorgensen, the American, he switched to them. So yeah. He picked up where he left off last year in Movistar, and he was like absolutely slotted into the way they race so well. So they had Van Baarle up there. They had Mattia Jorgensen. They had Christophe Laporte, European champion, and they had Wout. And at one point, in a group of six riders at the front of the race, they had three. They had Wout van Aert, Christophe Laporte and Mattia Jorgensen. And you're looking at them going, there's no way they can't win this race now. It's just a question of how and who with and all that sort of thing. And Jorgensen attacked with about 40K to go. And you kind of thought, that might be the winning move, actually, because who's going to... Pidcock was there and someone else, I can't remember. Tom Skunch. But they're looking at each other going, well, I'm not going to chase Jorgensen down. You think, well, the American's going to win here. But actually, he faded a little bit. The race came back together again. And then in the sort of third group on the road, they had even more riders. They had Jan Tratnik, Slovenian, who did a lot of work, brought the two groups back together again, and everything came back together again. Tratnik went over the top, taking Niels Pollitt with him. And then Pollitt did that kind of typically strong but overly honest ride, you know, that he's kind of almost famous for. He just invested so much in him and Tratnik staying away and being the winning move that, of course, it all blew up in his face and Tratnik just sat on his wheel and then and it just came past him and took the win. So it was brilliant. It was
Tratnik
good.
Won.
And Wout was a bit frustrated in the end. Yeah, Tratnik won it.
Wow. Well, win.
Sorry, ten minutes?
Okay. Sorry, just a cleaner there. Tratnik, whoa, that's a huge win.
It's a huge win. I read the interview afterwards with him. I didn't realise he'd had such like a troubled career.
You know, I raced as an under-23 of him, used to know him quite well, because he signed for Quickstep a year after I turned pro. And then whether or not, it was a case of him not, I don't think he enjoyed it. He just didn't like racing.
He had an eating disorder.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so he had a huge eating disorder and mental health issues around that, chicken or the egg, I don't know, and then went down lower ranks and just took him a few years to kind of sort himself out and kind of, I guess, find a way to a balance to enjoy it. And yeah, so he's what, 33?
Yeah.
32, 33 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. Good on him. The old, I tell you what, I kept calling, I'm glad I did UAE because it's so hard not to say Jumbo. It's kind of Visma Lease.
Oh, God, it's going to be a tricky one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and another
which
one.
Were the other just difficult, which were the other difficult ones, David?
Alpes and De Koenig and Sudal Quickstep, just because they're actually fine, but they look exactly the same now.
Yeah. Like, but they're the same names as they were last year, at least.
Yeah, but
right?
And now they look exactly the same.
Oh, they look exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a...
And what about... what is it? Decathlon AG2R? Is that what they're called?
Yeah. So I just call it Decathlon because I like calling it Decathlon because it's like you're supporting your local bike shop. You know how much I love Decathlon. So I was just dropping off. You love that. I'd either go full on Decathlon Nage du Zer or I just ended up just going Decathlon. Because I want to support Decathlon. They need the support.
Keep
them going. Keep them alive.
What about Astana, Kazakhstan's Mark Cavendish? How did he get on in the desert stage?
He was all right. His lead out was looking pretty good, actually. Merku was there. He got a really good lead out on the day Olav Koy won, where our friend Merlier got second, but just didn't have the legs, and then he didn't start the next day. sickness. So, but he actually looked a little bit chilled out and kind of there going through the motions. I'm guessing he might have been a bit just kind of tired from Colombia and traveling, and he didn't look super switched on, Cav, that's for sure. So perhaps just kind of going through it. But the team looks a lot better. So I think they've done an amazing job with the team because it's completely different to what it was. So he's got the support, it looks like, which is good.
They've got that massive guy, haven't they? Is it Kleb? Big guy in the lead out train. Kleb, he's a Kazakh rider, isn't he? I think. Huge unit.
Yeah,
so he looks like if they can harness him correctly, he'll do a really important job. Yeah, yeah. Well, you just know. I mean, the bits and pieces I saw, it just looked a little bit like a work in progress, big time, his lead out train. But you just kind of, bearing in mind that and how far away we are still from the Tour de France, you just kind of know that if he gets to the start line of the Tour, he's just going to find a way, isn't he, I think, of just getting that one win. And I then, you also think that Merlier and people like that will just have exploded themselves by the time the July comes around. Cavendish is just playing the long game.
Kind of anomalous watching Merlier just crush them all there because, he really was head and shoulders. Olav Kooi, kind of the next one that actually did anything, but other than that, Groenewegen, it was just a list of all of them were there, and nobody shone. So it was kind of, they were all just kind of going through the motions, it seemed like. But yeah, you're right, Mark will be there, no doubt. What's he doing next? Pete's just like,
no idea. It's got to be Tirreno, hasn't it?
Has to be.
He usually does Tirreno, doesn't he? Has he ever done Paris-Nice? I don't think he has he? I don't think he's ever raced Paris-Nice.
No. Yeah, he's done. Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's Paris-Nice. Yeah,
he
did it a few years ago and got crosswinds and all that. I remember he just got spat out in the crosswinds really early on. But that's when he was still struggling with illness and all that sort of thing. So he's probably not got fond memories of Paris-Nice. Because he's half Italian anyway, isn't he? Let's face it.
Yeah, it's pretty much home race, isn't it?
Fluent.
I just remembered in our race simulation that we did the other day, which you would have found hilarious, Ned, we caught an under-23 Bahrain rider, and he just joined in the race. He was up the road of two of our riders going through and off.
Brilliant. That's a proper racer.
It was bonkers.
Cycling is so weird, isn't it? Imagine, just transpose that onto another professional sport for a second, you know?
I know.
Like, Arsenal and Watford, their training grounds are literally next to each other in North London. So imagine if, one of the Arsenal players hoofed the ball over the fence and it landed in the, and he kind of nipped over to get this ball and just carried on training with the Arsenal for a bit.
It's literally the same thing. And, one rider, he had his shorts on from his team last year, who was a junior. And I was like, I only noticed after about an hour and a half, and I was like, it's literally the equivalent of playing for Chelsea last year and turning up for City for their first training session in your Chelsea kit. And he didn't understand it. And he had his energy bot. They had a little sort of pocket on the shorts, where it's quite big in gravel and for just hobbyists, isn't
cargo
it?
Cargo pocket.
Yeah. And he had his gels and stuff in there. And I was like, why have you got your food in your short pocket? I was like, first of all, why have you even got a pocket on your shorts? And second, why have you got gels in there? And he was like, oh, it's just, it's easier to get to. And I was like, what?
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's easy to get to. It's like, what's the stress? I was bewildered by it. Completely bewildered. Stuff like that all the time.
Kids,
it's great.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then we had one, it was poor guy, crashed on one of the descents. We were doing 2040s and broke his jaw in two places. So that was on the second day.
No.
Yeah, it was awful. It swelled up straight. He was absolute trooper, to be fair to him. Didn't moan once, just on the way to the hospital, not a problem. And then another a junior from Giles's team, he joined the camp a couple of days ago and we were on 6 hours that day, and about 4 hours in, he was like, "Oh, I don't feel too well. Haven't been able to eat for the last 2 hours now." I was like, "What did you do yesterday?" And he was like, 4 hours. "What did you do the day before that?" He was like, 5 hours. I think I was like, "You're coming on the Trinity camp and you do 5 hours and then 4 hours the 2 days before it." I was like, "You probably," in my head, I was like, he's probably just struggling with the volume and the workload. And he was like, "I don't really feel too good at all." And I was like, we already had four people in the car. I was like, "Oh, we're gonna have to put you in the car." So I was like, "Get in the car." And then we started driving. He was like, yeah, I was really annoyed. And then we started driving. Oh, no. He was like, "Oh, has anyone got a bag?" And I was like, "You're gonna be sick." And I was like, he was like, "Oh, I think so." And I was like, "Well, if you're gonna be sick, just tell me and we'll pull over, because, you know, can't be just being sick in a bag, not on an aeroplane." So he's like, "I think I'm gonna be sick." Pulled over. Honestly, I've never seen anyone projectile vomit so much. Like his head, there was that much of it. His head went like ejected backwards, and it was just like coming out for, I would probably say, 15 to 20 seconds. God. This is like day three. I was just like, "Well, back into it, yeah, Pete."
Well, ladies and gentlemen, apologies if you are eating your breakfast while you're listening to this podcast. Should have maybe done a trigger warning there. That's horrifying.
I don't know where all that came from. That was just a bit out of context, but it just came into my brain. Wasn't working for the first 30 minutes of that podcast. Back in the game, right. Do you know what? This is my point with the Tour de France as well, and being able to commentate at UAE. We haven't podcast. Well, I haven't been on a podcast for a while. It takes a while to get going again, doesn't it? Get into the rhythm.
It does. Absolutely. Especially on a dodgy internet link from an Airbnb in Lille, it keeps dropping out. Anyway. No, you're right. Hey, by the way, one other notable performance, Joe Blackmore. Have you followed that at all?
No, go on.
Israel Premier Tech. He is a neo-pro from Great Britain. He won the Tour of Rwanda.
Ah.
21 years of age, from Kent. I know nothing about him, but he's another one who's just kind of like nerdled his way into our reckoning. I mean, it's a pretty notable achievement.
He was stronger than the Nationals, wasn't he, last year?
Yes.
I remember. FDJ, was he riding for then? On the 23 team.
Well, are you not confusing him? He might have been, actually. Yeah, he might have been.
That's where I remember the name from, the Nationals. Yeah.
Another young rider, Pete, who I was at an event with him at the weekend, is Trinity rider, Cameron Mason, the cyclocross national champ. Yeah, did you have much to do with him, or was he always mountain biking and sort of cyclocrossing and all?
Because I might have done one road race with him, not much. No,
nice kid. What a really nice kid, a smart kid, and obviously really good at running through muddy fields and lifting his bike over obstacles. But he was a smashing kid. So, Pete, we need to fine tune the arrangements for Paris-Roubaix. I'm nervous about that.
We do. He messaged me, didn't he, saying, "Can I get in just before Arenberg Forest?" I was like,
that's a perfect time. Stop the car just before Arenberg, pick up Ned.
How close are we talking to Arenberg, Ned?
50 meters. No. Okay. I get
fumbling around with your rucksack and all your cables and stuff.
But I'm staying the night before the race in Valenciennes, which is pretty close to the Arenberg. So we're going to have to find a place near on the outskirts of Valenciennes that I can easily get to. And that's where. But I don't think the route has been released, has it? But does the under 23 route, is it exactly the same as the elite, as the senior route?
Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe the first bit is slightly different, and then they must come onto the course at some point and then follow it to the finish, the same as the pro race. Yeah. But I'm not sure what the first section of the race looks like. Need to do a bit of research into it, really.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm definitely jumping on somewhere near Valenciennes.
Are you staying in until the finish?
Yeah.
Plan, yeah. I wasn't sure.
That's, yeah.
Just drop him off somewhere.
Oh, brilliant. Just Ned, get out here. Yeah. Like that, in the middle of some sort of cabbage field in like northern France. Yeah. Thanks, Pete.
David says,
cheers, guys. See ya.
Halfway through the carpool libre. Just Trinity car pulls over.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm definitely. I've got to stay until the end, Pete.
Who have you got? You got somebody who's pretty good at that, Pete?
Got a few riders, yeah. We've got Bob Donaldson, Callum. Who else? Be interesting to see how Joe Pidcock goes. Obviously, Tom Pidcock's younger brother. Who else have we got? We've got Josh Charlton this year. National time trial champ.
Ooh.
Track rider. He'll be strong over that type of stuff. Who else have we got? Yeah, they're the first names that sort of come to mind.
Have you DS'd it before, Pete?
No.
Or not?
No.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's wow. Kind of exciting.
And have you got like... Slightly nervous. Have you got like... Are you sending like Aaron Jacob and people like that up with like to stand at the side of the road with wheels and things?
Yeah,
at
well, we'll have Aaron like, in the car with us, and then I think we're going to try and get a few of the parents involved for extra...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, extra feeds and wheels and stuff. So...
Yeah.
Well, it still feels quite far away, to be honest.
It is quite far away. And David, we've got Flanders before that, haven't we, obviously?
Yeah, we have. That's going to come right. I didn't realise it was Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
That went down well with my family. sorry, Nicole.
Come along.
Yeah.
Like, oops. We should probably say that Sports Tours International, I'll put it in the show notes. That's that's the people organising that trip for us. And so get involved. And join us in Flanders, well, I think we've pushed our luck with I've pushed my luck with the internet connection, and I've definitely pushed my luck with my Airbnb host, who wanted me out 46 minutes ago, and he'll be knocking on the door fairly soon. So
very good.
So there we go.
We broke the back, Pete. We'll be better at next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to commit to Strada. Well, hopefully I can watch Strada Bianchi at the hotel Saturday.
Yeah. Choose to nominate another Soigneur day, role swap day for Saturday.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I really need to.
Yeah.
I'm always, on Strada Bianchi day, I'm always presenting the darts at Minehead. And there's a cameraman who used to work for ITV and go out with Freebos to the Vuelta. And he works on the darts as well. And me and him, he works with me on my presenting position. We basically just keep one eye on Strada Bianchi and one eye on the darts behind us as well. It's the most random thing. So I'm off to the darts tomorrow, and straight from the darts to see you at Paris-Nice, and on we go. Lovely. And then we'll be podding. We'll do loads of podding from Paris-Nice.
Yeah, we'll do loads of podding. Yeah, we'll get back on our game. Cool.
All right. And where are you traveling to next, Pete? Where are you off to next?
I go. You're going home for 10 days and then straight into the first race of the season. A little block in Belgium and Holland, it's called Youngster Coast Challenge, and then a race called Dorpenloop. 2 1-days first, and then Olympia Tour a couple of days after that.
Oh, man.
Which is pure chaos, basically. So, and then I just got the road booked through for Olympia Tour. It's so funny. It's like something from like 1971. And then we do Roubaix Recon on the way home from Olympia Tour. And then it's pretty fantastic. We're knocking on the door of Roubaix then, so.
Cool. All right, then. Let's reconvene.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers. See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.